80 rivals to the iPad are set to debut this week at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, launching the new Tablet Wars to find out which is the best of these sleek, thin, computer-like pads. In fact, one of the events is called the Great Slate Debate. Slates or tablets were once best known for their lack of sales. Then Apple sold 7 million iPads. Now we're being told we can't do without them. But are we being sold a bill of goods? Is this actually the CB of computers? 10-4, Big Buddy? Well, our next guest says, you don't have to have one, but it's fun, and they're here to stay. Yesterday, we had a lesson in how to use the iPad. I've mostly been using mine to make fish swim in a clever app called Pocket Fish. You can hear that story at hearandnow.org. Today, we welcome David Carr, business columnist and culture reporter for The New York Times, who says that actually the tablet is renewing the romance of reading. David, welcome.
Pleasure to be with you, Robin.
And to continue on that theme, you wrote recently that long-form narrative and news has found a reliable wingman in the iPad. What do you mean?
Well, I just think that when you're at a computer, be it a laptop or a desktop, the tendency is to click, scan, hit a link, keep moving, more or less to skip across various lily pads. Because of the iPad and other tablets' ability to display long-form content that can be navigated with just a swipe of the finger, I find myself leaning back, relaxing, and actually reading what's on the screen.
And you can sort of hold it like a book. And you said swipe of the finger. We talked about this yesterday with our colleague Andrew Phelps. You know, there's an intimacy. Instead of your hand being on a mouse or a keyboard, although it can be on a keyboard as well with tablets, you're putting your hand right on the screen. What does that do for you?
Robin, I think we're talking about a really sort of ancient impulse that goes back before there was even language. People want to touch what they want to learn about. The fact that books turn with pages, I think, is part of what makes it fun to read. You're literally in touch with what you're reading. And I think in terms of the iPad, whether you're moving down or across content, the fact that your hands are involved in the process, it takes us back to sort of another time when you read with both your hands and your eyes. It's a pretty powerful combination.
How does it help your main employer, newspapers? How does it help people like the New York Times?
Not all of it is good. Let's start with the good part. The good part is anything that encourages people to read and consume content is a net good for us. The other thing is the iPad is already a commercial environment. In other words, people are used to paying for things. A lot of the applications on the iPad are free, but then a lot are available at nominal cost. And for newspaper publishers, when you've got people where the device they're using already has their personal information and they can buy something with just the press of a finger, that makes for a more friction-free transaction environment and gets publications out of the world of subscriptions, which is sort of a nasty word out on the web, and into the world of applications, which sounds much sexier and much more appropriate. So that's all to the good. In addition, News Corporation is coming up with an iPad-only newspaper called The Daily that a lot of people are watching. They have some really smart people working on it. That kind of innovation can only be good for the industry. The one thing I worry about is I traveled back to Minnesota for my Christmas vacation. I left behind, you know, 4 newspapers a day on my doorstep. And I noticed while I was gone between the applications for the newspapers I read and the web interfaces on the iPad that it sort of renewed what I like in the newspaper, which is I can zoom across content, I can, you know, land on things serendipitously. And when I find something that's cool that I want to show to my dad or my wife or one of my kids, I can just hand it across and they can look at it too. I think as tablet sales go up, the need for a printed version of the product, which is something we make quite a bit of money on, will probably go down.
Well, and how does that work in the future? You just charge more on the tablets because newspapers can't function if somebody isn't paying.
There's a couple of things. We have a core audience that is on our website all the time. And at some point, we're expecting to come up with a metered model where those people who are most loyal consumers will pay for the privilege of ease and convenience in terms of accessing content. One other thing, and it's a little more sort of wonky, but if you have a certain amount of people who are tuning in on the iPad and you know who they are, you can maybe come up with a different ad sale that's more lucrative to various publications.
Well, just some of your other thoughts about these tablets, these iPads. You say that they're at the heart of a media mashup that's coming. You know, the end of verticals is how you put it. Tell us more about that.
We gave my 87-year-old father an iPad for Christmas, and one of the things my dad said when we were setting up his iPad, and, you know, I was putting the app for the BBC and the NPR and ABC News and Huffington Post on there, he said, geez, everything looks sort of the same. And he's right. Everybody's got text. Everybody's got pictures. Everybody's got audio. Everybody's got video. So the idea of what is a television station, what is a newspaper, what is a website, becomes less of an important question, I think, within the four corners of the iPad. Everything looks sort of the same.
David Carr of The New York Times giving us his thoughts about tablets and the iPad. And by the way, you recommend your favorite apps. They include the BBC News, which is free, Netflix, free, but an $8 monthly fee. That's, you know, streaming TV shows and movies. Reuters News Pro, that's free. And then there's something called Instapaper. Can you just tell us, what's that?
Instapaper, you get a button on your web browser that says read later. You push that button and you end up getting a list of things that you're going to read later, sort of like bookmarking or dog-earing a magazine page. When you come back, it's presented in a clean, easily readable format. In the same way, Flipboard, which is a newer app, takes your Twitter feed, your RSS feed, and turns it into something that looks an awful lot like a magazine and is really easy to read and beautiful to look at.
For David Carr's other thoughts on tablets and iPads, we'll have his articles at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, David, I will send you the Pocket Fish.
I would very much appreciate the referral, but if it ends up making time disappear and I do nothing but play Pocket Fish, I'm going to have a problem with that.
Oh, then I won't send it to you.
Well, I might send you back Angry Birds just to get you back.
Got it already.
All right.
David, thank you.
A pleasure to speak.